ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 69 टेक्स्ट नंबर 36। अव्यक्तलिंगं प्रकृतिश्व अन्तःपुरगृहादिषु क्वचिच्चरन्तं योगेशं तत्तद्भावबुभुत्सय। अव्यक्तलिंगं प्रकृतिश्व अन्तःपुरगृहादिषु क्वचिच्चरन्तं योगेशं तत्तद्भावबुभुत्सया। अव्यक्तलिंगं प्रकृतिश्व अन्तःपुरगृहादिषु क्वचिच्चरन्तं योगेशं तत्तद्भावबुभुत्सया। अव्यक्तलिंगं प्रकृतिश्व अन्तःपुरगृहादिषु क्वचिच्चरन्तं योगेशं तत्तद्भावबुभुत्सया। अव्यक्तलिंगं प्रकृतिश्व अन्तःपुरगृहादिषु क्वचिच्चरन्तं योगेशं तत्तद् अव्यक्तलिंगं प्रकृतिश्व अन्तःपुरगृहादिषु क्वचिच्चरन्तं योगेशं तत्तद्भावबुभुत्सया।
माताजी,
अव्यक्तलिंगं प्रकृतिश्व अन्तःपुरगृहादिषु क्वचिच्चरन्तं योगेशं तत्तद्भावबुभुत्सया।
वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग। अव्यक्त हिडन, लिंगम हिज आइडेंटिटी, प्रकृतिषु अमंग हिज मिनिस्टर्स, अंतपुर ऑफ द रॉयल प्रिसिंक्ट्स, गृह आदिषु अमंग द रेसिडेंट्स एटसेट्रा, क्वचित समवेयर, चरंतम मूविंग अबाउट, योग ईशम द लॉर्ड ऑफ मिस्टिक पावर, तत्तत् ऑफ ईच ऑफ देम, भाव द मेंटेलिटीज, बुभुत्सया विद द डिजायर टू नो। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय द डिसाइपल ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। समवेयर कृष्णा द लॉर्ड ऑफ मिस्टिक पावर वॉज मूविंग अबाउट इन अ डिस्गाइज अमंग द होम्स ऑफ मिनिस्टर्स and other citizens, in order to understand what each of them was thinking. Purport. Although Lord Krishna is all-knowing, while executing his pastimes as a typical monarch, he sometimes traveled about incognito to acquire necessary information about his kingdom. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन
तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदा सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनितिनामिणे नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all devotees, assembled devotees, to speak something on this exalted subject of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. I'll read the translation once again. Somewhere Krishna, the Lord of mystic power, was moving about in a disguise among the homes of ministers and other citizens. In order to understand what each of them was thinking. Srimad Bhagavatam is Amal Puran, which talks about the activities of Krishna and his devotees. One of the Western philosophers, Aristotle, he says that, he argues actually, Supreme Lord would hardly take part in human activities because all such human activities are ordinary and they are unworthy for the Supreme Being. As we all of us know that Krishna is not like an ordinary living entity like us. He is a supreme being. In fact, his body is also not made up of material objects or material elements. So, he argues that it is not possible for him to indulge into activities which normally human being will do. Same argument Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also poses in 10th canto, 50th chapter, where he also question marks whether Krishna behaving like an ordinary person, is it possible? He said it's not possible. Then why does he do that? As we are seeing here the activity in this 69th chapter which Narad Muni is observing. Many activities which are normally seen done by ordinary people. So why does he do that? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, he does it to create a thrilling transcendental pastimes which are full of suspense and dynamic action. Usually, drama and suspense attracts the heart and mind of the people. So Supreme Lord or Krishna or any other incarnation does this transcendental pastimes which are thrilling. And these thrilling pastimes creates a suspension and dynamic action. And what does that lead? That lead to attract the heart of living entity towards him. That is the only sole purpose of the Lord coming to this world and performing the activities, which seem to be ordinary activities. But the gulf of difference between the activities done by ordinary living entity and Supreme Lord. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the ordinary living entity is forced to do an activity because of his karma, karma bandhana. You, me, we are forced to do certain kind of activities, which is because of our previous activities or karma. But Supreme Lord is not at all forced to do the activities like us. In fact, when we do activity, it's because of karma bandhan, but when Supreme Lord does the activities, it's called a leela. It's a pleasure for him. It's a pleasure potency. Nobody liked to go and work, especially when I was working. I didn't like to go for working and work for 6 to 8 hours. But I was forced. I have to. But for Krishna, it's not like that. If he wants, he works. If he doesn't want, he'll not work. But still he works. In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, there is no prescribed duties for me, but still I perform the duties. What? Why? In order to set an example. So that common man will follow. The common man follows the path of the great people, Yadyad Acharati Srishta. So Krishna performs the activities to set an example, to establish some principle where common man will be able to follow in their life. But these activities of Krishna, which are seemingly to be like an ordinary, a different person will have different perception of these activities. Those who are devotees of Krishna, those who have love for Krishna, their heart will get attracted towards Krishna. But those who are antagonistic or those who are envious of Krishna, they think this as a mythology. Same Krishna, same activities, but the different perception depends on the mentality of the person who is hearing those kind of activities. Previous to this, we also heard the chapter of where Krishna wants to marry Rukmini Devi. Rukmini also heard about Krishna, and her brother Rukmi also heard about Krishna. Rukmi developed love for Krishna, attraction for Krishna. She wanted Krishna as her husband. But Rukmi, he developed hatred towards Krishna. So activities of Krishna will be the same, but the effect will be different, depends on the attitude, the mentality of the listener.
And that's why Krishna in Bhagavad Gita tells Arjuna in 9th chapter, the first verse, that I am telling you this confidential knowledge because you don't envy me. So, these activities of Krishna are described in this 10th canto, which we are reading. And the 69th chapter of this verse starts with the desire of Narad Muni. Narad Muni had a desire. He wanted to know how Krishna is living or how Krishna is going about his married life, grihastha life, with 16,108 queens. So desire is what starts with this chapter. And there are different kinds of desire, but majorityly they are categorized into two, either material or spiritual. If you visit Tirupati Balaji temple, all of us know, there are a lot of people go there, a lot of crowd go there to have a darshan. Many go with different desires. After you take darshan of Tirupati Balaji, you come out and there is one stone is there. And you will find lot of people gathered there. After taking out darshan, because darshan is only for few seconds, but when people come out and there is a stone, on that stone it is said that if you write your desire, it gets fulfilled. And you will find lot of people gathering around it. And the beauty of it is that you have to write with your finger, index finger, the desire, what you want. When I went there, I saw the whole crowd and everybody is writing on that one small piece of stone is there. I was thinking, if there would have been paper and pen to write a desire, what would have happened? Because everyone has so many desire. And few people who are waiting behind, they are telling to the person who is standing next, "Arey, ho gaya ka? Jaldi karo, baju hato, hame bhi likhne do." They also want to write the desires. So desire could be material, desire could be spiritual. What is decide whether desire is material or spiritual? The outcome will decide. By fulfilling the desire, if more desires are occurring in my heart, more desires are taking birth in my heart, or by fulfilling the desire, I experience frustration, I experience disappointment, I want something more, then that could be material desire. And the desire, spiritual desire, if by getting that fulfilled, my love for Krishna, my service towards Krishna and duties is increasing, that's what we'll see in this chapter. After Narad Muni, this desire gets fulfilled, what was his reaction? What was his words? So the desire which fulfills our heart, develops the love and service attitude, that can be termed as a spiritual desire. And Narad Muni is watching these pastimes of Krishna in Dwarka. One of the prominent thing that comes out of this is that Krishna, whatever role he plays, he played very perfectly. In any incarnation, just like in 7th canto, the incarnation when Lord Narasimha appeared, he appeared for Prahlad Maharaj, he killed Hiranyakashipu, sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu, nobody was dared to approach him, finally Prahlad was sent forward, go and pacify the Lord, Prahlad goes, and he sits on the lap of Narasimha. Now Narasimha is in the form of half lion and half man. So as a lion, when he sits on the lap of Narasimha, Prahlad Maharaj sits on the lap of Narasimha, Narasimha, in order to show an affection, he starts licking with his tongue. So in animal society, this is what is generally found. The mother shows affection to cub or calf by licking it. And Narasimha perfectly did that only.
So whatever role Krishna takes in third canto also, when Varadhi appears, in order to lift the Mother Earth from the Garbhuda Goshen, he lifts on the tusk, taking down his mouth, and that's how normally the pigs do. So whatever role Krishna comes in, he does it perfectly. And that attracts the hearts of devotees. Even in the incarnation of Krishna, because he has come as a human child, he rarely displays his godliness. God doesn't want to display his godliness unless until it's required or necessary or to establish something. Usually we, a living entity, whatever little godly quality we have, we try to display it more prominently. But it's very opposite in terms of the Supreme Lord or Krishna. He tried to conceal that godly qualities and behave as if like a normal human. And that's why it's very attractive. When there are two qualities of opposite nature are present in one person, that attracts the heart. For example, when somebody is very powerful, but someone commits an offense toward that powerful person, and that powerful person forgives him, that quality attracts the heart. Weak person who doesn't have any strength, if we commit an offense towards him and he said, "Ek, maaf kar diya tumko," because he can't do anything anyway, that doesn't carry much weightage. But if somebody is powerful and he forgives, then that quality attracts the heart of everyone. Just like in 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Chitraketu was flying in the airplane given by Lord Vishnu over the Kailas, and he saw Lord Shiva was sitting in the assembly of great sages, great learned sages. Some says that he was giving discourse on renunciation, and Mother Parvati was sitting on his lap and his hand was around her waist. And Chitraketu Maharaj just saw that picture, saw that scene, and laughed it. And he spoke in such a way that Parvati could hear it. And he said, "Just see Lord Shiva. What kind of person is he? Sitting among the assembly of great sages who are learned in Vedic principle, but his wife is on his lap." He says, ordinarily, a normal or ordinary human being will embrace or speak intimately to their wives in a secluded places. But see the greatness of Lord Shiva, that he is embracing his wife in the public. So that Parvati, Lord Shiva just laughed it and ignored it. And other sages also did the same thing, because Lord Shiva didn't spoke anything. But Parvati took it in another way. And she cursed him. And when she cursed him, he comes down, gets off his plane, and offers obeisances to Parvati and Shiva. And then there's a nice conversation. He accepts this curse as a will of the Supreme Lord. He accepts it as a will of providence. And he said, "Okay, thank you very much." And when he leaves off, then Lord Shiva starts praising the devotees of Lord Vishnu. And there, even though Chitraketu Maharaj had a power to counter-curse Parvati for being cursed by her, but still he forgives. Or he apologizes for his comment. And that is what powerful, he had a power, but he forgives. Another incident comes in 9th canto, when Durvasa Muni offends Amrish Maharaj. And Amrish Maharaj, even being offended by Durvasa Muni, stood at that same place for one full year. And Sudarshan Chakra came without even him being asking for protection from the Lord. And Durvasa Muni runs all the places. Lord Vishnu tells, "Okay, go back to the same person to whom you are offended." He comes back again. And he forgives him. This quality of Ambarish Maharaj, that wins the heart of Durvas Muni. That he has a power, but he has the ability to forgive. Another quality is, somebody is very great, but still he is very humble. Usually greatness causes the pride in the heart. But the great person being humble, that also attracts the quality, that also attracts the hearts or mercy of the Lord. The fourth canto, when Prithu Maharaj, he was the incarnation of the Supreme Lord. He did 99 sacrifices, even though there was no, he was doing the 100 sacrifices, but Indra was causing the disturbance. It was not Prithu Maharaj's mistake, but still Brahma comes and says, okay, stop this. And he chastises him. Prithu Maharaj accepts that. And that quality of Prithu Maharaj attracts the Supreme Lord mercy. Lord Vishnu personally comes down to accept the worship of Prithu Maharaj. Somebody is very wealthy and simultaneously he is generous. Usually wealthy people are a little miser. They don't usually lose the strings of their purse. But the wealthy people, if that person is generous, that also attracts the heart of those people. I was just recently flipping through the book, Life Lived with Grace. That book is of Krishna Chandra Prabhu's father, Mr. Arvind Mafatlal's life, and pictures were there. And I was just reading few pages of the book because I had some connection for the typing in Marathi translation of that book. And the life of Mr. Arvind Mafatlal, like fabulous wealth. During that era, he was the third in India to be a wealthy person. After Tata, Birla, and then third was Mafatlal. So much wealth. But he was very kind-hearted. In fact, there are many interviews of different industries also, and they were also, everybody has a common theme to say about him, that he was the most generous person whom they met, according to them. In Ranka, during that time in 1970s, there was severe drought in Ranka, Bihar. And there he went, Mr. Arvind Mafatlal, and he saw the condition of the people. No water, no food. In fact, condition was so poor, they had hardly anything to eat. So when these people started relief work, they had to, because people have not seen the food for so many days, they have to regulate the dose of food given to those people. Because if somebody is hungry and suddenly he gets the food and eats a lot of food, he can die. So they have to regulate that also. That was the situation. And there, first time he met this Ranchod Das Ji Maharaj. And he saw the work what he and his team was doing. And there he decided to dedicate his life to this saintly person. And in Ranka, he took a vow by seeing the condition of the people. Until unless I restore this village or this town back to normalcy, I will not eat the rice. Because if I don't have rice in my plate, that will remind me what mission I have to fulfill. And he worked, toiled like anything. He personally, because many times it happens that wealthy people, they have the wealth, okay, how much you want, they give a donation. But we hardly find somebody personally also coming there and working on hand and knees. But he worked very hard. And after many months without eating rice, till he fulfilled his mission, then this Ranchod Ji Maharaj personally sat him and gave him prasad. And that was the first time he ate rice after many months. So wealthy people, but simultaneously generous, that also attracts the heart of the people. So, Krishna has this quality. As this verse says, Yogesham, he knows everything. But still, he goes in a disguised way to find out what people are thinking, what ministers are thinking. So Krishna is playing the role of a monarch. And as a monarch, he is performing this duty of running the kingdom smoothly, taking care of the citizen nicely. But such a powerful person sometimes behaves ordinarily that bewilders minds of many people. In fact, in Ramayana, this story comes. When Lord Ram, Sita and Lakshman were staying in Panchavati area, Ravan comes and kidnaps Sita. And then Ram and Lakshman comes back and finds that Sita is no more there. Lord Ram starts weeping like anything. And many verses after verses in Valmiki Ramayana are there about the condition of Lord Ram and how he's very sad, he's very, very sad, or his vilap, they call it in Sanskrit or Marathi, he's doing vilap. He's just crying and speaking many words. There are 5 chapters in Valmiki Ramayana about this. Just vilap of Lord Ram, where he's crying. And by reading that, even we also read it, sometimes question might come, is it Supreme Lord? Why is he crying like an ordinary person? Same doubt came in the mind of Sati. Lord Shiva and Sati heard from Agastya Muni how Supreme Lord has appeared as Lord Ram and is performing the pastime on an earthly planet. So Lord Shiva got a desire to see Lord Ram. So he along with Sati comes and see, and he comes during this period where Sita is being kidnapped and Lord Ram is crying in separation. And just from a distance only Lord Shiva offers obeisances and was about to leave. And Parvati asked, to whom you are offering obeisances? He said, that person. He is my master, Supreme Lord. She doubts, is it? But he is crying so incessantly and his wife is stolen. If he is Supreme Lord, he should be equipoised. He should not be disturbed. And he should be knowing who has stolen it. Why is asking the trees, deers and anyone coming on the way, he is asking, where is Sita? Have you seen Sita? Why is he doing that? He said, don't doubt him. He is Supreme Lord. But still she had a desire to test him. So Lord Shiva said, okay, go ahead. So she goes in the form of Sita. Perfect. Now if material nature wants to take any form, we living entity will hardly able to detect it. We'll get bewildered. But as soon as she saw Lord Ram is coming on this way, so she comes in opposite direction. And as soon as Lord Ram saw her, immediately whatever grief was there, he just says, he offers pranam to her and says, Mother, what are you doing here? Where is Lord Shiva? Why are you alone in the forest? And she was like shocked. And she understood, I made a mistake. And in fact, in order to convince her, Lord Ram tells her story. He tells her, once Lord Shiva asked Vishwakarma to construct a beautiful throne. And beautiful throne was constructed, and Lord Shiva called Lord Vishnu, sat him on a throne and worshipped Lord Vishnu. And there Lord Shiva declared that all my followers will pay respect to you. So she got convinced, oh, he is knowing everything, he's all knower. So she goes back. And when she comes back, Lord Shiva asks, what happened? Said, nothing. Because she was too embarrassed to tell what happened, what conspired there. But Lord Shiva also knows everything. From that day onward, this story is given in Shiv Puran Satikhand. And from that day onward, Lord Shiva, because she had taken the form of Mother Sita, which was worshipable to Lord Shiva, he started having gradual detachment from her. And that's how next pastime happens of Daksha Prajapati, where Sati immolates her body because Lord Shiva was no more having a same conjugal relationship with her. So people get bewildered. when Lord performs activity, not people, even duty also sometimes get bewildered. When Lord performs activity as a small child or normal human being. That's what in Damodarashtakam, Rudantem Muhum Netram Yugmam Nrijamtam. And same thing Kunti Maharani in 1st Canto 8th chapter, she is bewildered by this pastime. That how can a small child to whom the fear personified is fearful of a stick in the hand of mother when he committed some mischief. And he is crying and with his two hands he is like a small child. With his two hands he is rubbing his eyes and the mascara which was on his eyes is along with the tears is coming out. And she says, that bewilders me. So the pastime of Krishna, when Krishna does it normally, it bewilders. And Krishna does it perfectly also. Just like Damodar Lila, small child, if mother shows a stick, he cries. Or just previous to this chapter was Krishna teaches Rukmini. In Marathi translation, Bhagavan Prabhu gave a nice title, Pranay Kalaha. Because that is what is commonly seen among husband and wife, Pranay Kalaha, the fight in conjugal affair. And there, it's like normally seen in everywhere, the fight which happens between husband and wife. And that's what Krishna does. Here in this verse, Krishna is moving about in disguise in order to know what others are thinking. This also, every one of us has this desire to know about what others are thinking about me. We want to know, acha usne kya bola, mere bare mein kya bola. Everyone wants to know what others are thinking about me. In fact, in today's society, people are very much intrigued about what is happening in the lives of big celebrities. Somebody takes birth in the big celebrity family. So all the time these news camera or photographers are flashing the lights or going about where we'll get the first glimpse of that royal family or celebrity family of with their kids and all this. And there are many magazines about telling the inside story what is happening in their lives. Because everyone has that desire and these magazines are selling like anything. Here we have something which is going on in the private life of the Supreme Lord. And we, because of the mercy of Narad Muni, we had an entrance where we can see what's going on in the life of such a celebrity, biggest celebrity, Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna's private life is in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. People try to hide their private lives. But Krishna's private life is there in the Bhagavatam. People's private life, when we hear about the private life of people or secret of the people, either two things can happen. One, we get envious of that person, why he's getting so much or why he's greater or superior to me. Or second, we try to sell that secret or make it public or try to show that how I know the secret things. But by reading or hearing Krishna's secret activities, our heart gets purified. That's the effect of the secret activities of Krishna. So Krishna here doing the duty of the king. Strictly speaking, frankly speaking, Krishna is not king. Ugrasen is a king. Krishna never accepted the role of king. Krishna never had an official title as a king. But he was performing the activity of the king, or he was rather doing the responsibility of king. Facility without facility, responsibility. Many times we want the facility without responsibility. People want the facility or the advantages of some post, but they don't want responsibility. There's example of Nahusha, King Nahusha. When Indra was, because of killing Vritrasura, Indra was hiding, there was no king.
So Nahusha was asked to come and rule as Indra. So post was given. But Nahusha, instead of ruling it or instead of taking care of that post, he wanted to enjoy the wife of Indra, Indrani, Sachi. So, facility wants but not responsibility. And because of that, he offended the Saptarshi and he has to get cursed and become a python, sarpa. So, when we are given a post, as Krishna is here demonstrating or teaching us, more than post is important is responsibility. And if I am given a post, I would like to entitle first what facility or what benefits I will get. In the Ramayana, this is another story, where King Kaushik, he was the king of the area, and he goes to Vasishtha Muni. And King Kaushik goes to Vasishtha Muni, and Vasishtha Muni, with the help of the cow, Shabala, he provides everything to the king and all his entourage, all the soldiers. And they are fed sumptuously, and he was surprised, King Kaushik. So instead of being grateful, he says to Vasishtha, give that Shabala to me. I want that cow. Because I am the king of these provisions, everything belongs to king according to the rule. So this cow also belongs to me. He poses an argument in front of Vasishtha. So he is showing his right. Because I am king, I have right, or this facility or this benefit should be mine. And everything, and another rule says that everything best should be offered to the king, because he is the representative of the god. So you should give that cow to me. He said, no, I can't give, because this cow is very much required for me. He said, she is a part of my subject, and I have every right on her. And then Vasishtha shows the Kaushik, King Kaushik, that she is standing 1 inch above the ground. So she is not standing on your bhumi, not on your kingdom, so she doesn't belong to you. And then there was a lot of fight later on, and we know whole story. But the point I was trying to make is that facility without responsibility. It should be without facility, we should be ready to take a responsibility. And that's why for the king previous times, when king were ruling, they were having ankush of dharma, or the people who are follower of dharma, so that they will not get deviated by these kind of allurements. So, what Krishna did, Lord Ram also did in his incarnation, because he was also king, and he also one day went in disguise, that's what Bhagavatam says, went in disguise to find out what citizens are talking about him. So to take care of the citizens is the duty of the king. So he went in disguise, find out what people are talking about him, and he heard conversation of one low class person criticizing his wife that he is not Lord Ram to accept her who had been away whole night. And then Lord Ram decides, okay, I cannot live with Sita, she should be sent to the forest. So king, the role of the king or role of any leader is he puts himself or his priorities or his comforts at the back and other people's comfort in the front. Their welfare in the front. That's the rule of thinking. Hari Bhaktivilas says that spiritual master is responsible for the sin of the disciples. The husband is responsible for the sin of his wife, and the leader or the king is responsible for the faults of his ministers. So the big post comes with a big responsibility. As in one of the Abhanga Tukaram Maharaj says, Zaya Angi Mothepana Taya Yatana Kathina. We usually don't see that part. That's why if anybody knows that these are the responsibility of this post, if people understand the seriousness of this post,
then hardly anyone will volunteer for taking up this kind of posts, where such a big responsibility. In fact, 1/6 of the bad activities or the sinful activities, that sin goes on the head of the person who is ruling that particular country or that particular area. So it's a big responsibility, and before taking up the position of leader, we have to first understand the seriousness or the responsibility part of that role which we are going to play. So Krishna is showing by his example how to rule the kingdom. If leader is cheater, then naturally people in general will also cheat. And that's why it becomes the duty of the king to find out himself. Krishna had a minister. He could have trusted the minister, but still he is trying to find out what's happening. This is a nice story. There was one Brahman, Bhagwan Pandit. He was an advisor of the king. And he was chief advisor of the king. And this Bhagwan Pandit was very honest, and he had all Brahminical qualities. He would not take undue advantage, he would not speak a lie to the king, he would not have any ill feeling towards anyone. He was a very nice person. But the king's ministers, because this chief advisor is a very honest person, the king's minister, they were in trouble. Because they could not exploit or do the corruption, because the chief advisor is an honest person. So this is what happens, that in the society or in the office, especially in government office, everybody is corrupt and one person is honest. Because of him, everybody suffers. That's what people think. So ministers thought that because of him we are suffering, we are not getting our percentage or quota, something like that. So they decided to remove him from the post. But king had full faith on him. How will they remove him? So they made a plot against him. Some or other, we will convince the king that this person is bad, this Bhagwan Pandit, and remove Bhagwan Pandit from your service. But they were not getting any opportunity. So one day, they told the gatekeeper, don't allow Bhagwan Pandit to come in. Tell him that king doesn't want to see you from this day onward. So as usual, one day Bhagwan Pandit comes to the court, and he was about to enter, the doorkeeper, guardian, stops him. He says, don't enter. Why? He said, king has told me, he has given an order, don't allow Bhagwan Pandit to enter, I don't want to see him anymore. So he tried to some more sneak, but no way. So he goes back to home. And he saw that, okay, king doesn't need me anymore, so what is the use of mine staying here? So he goes back to his village. Few days passes, few months passes, 2-3 months. After 3 months, this king started feeling, so many days happened, no news of Bhagwan Pandit. What happened to Bhagwan Pandit? So he asked his ministers, what happened to Bhagwan Pandit? And the minister said, he died of heart attack. Bhagwan Pandit is no more there. He had died of heart attack. So king was bewildered. Heart attack. So he calls his royal physician. And this minister had already contacted royal physician. And they had convinced him, and he had also become one of the member in their plot. So he called, when royal physician was called, and king asked him, where is Bhagwan Pandit? He said, he died of heart attack. Same thing he did. So king was convinced, oh, died of heart attack. So sorry, I couldn't hear, I'm missing his association. Sorry, I couldn't attend him. And then because he said that Bhagwan Pandit had done so much for me, I want to show my gratitude to him by sending some wealth. So he sends a lot of wealth through the minister to Bhagwan Pandit. So when ministers took the wealth and was about to go to his village, they thought, if we go to his village, this king will come to know, or he will do something.
So they decided we'll not go to his village. So what will do? What we will do with this wealth? He said, distribute it amongst ourselves. So they all distributed among themselves. But Bhagwan Pandit knew that something is wrong, and I want to convince the king that I am not dead. I want to meet the king. And he thought how to meet the king. If the king comes out of the palace, then I will be able to meet him. So he knows the king every day goes for strolling in his kingdom. And while strolling, the minister had made sure that king will have the guards, and guards were informed that make sure that Bhagwan Pandit, even from a distance also, the king will not able to see him, make it sure, or he doesn't approaches the king. So Bhagwan Pandit was somehow or other trying to meet the king. These guards were not allowing to meet him. So he decides, he saw the king coming from the distance. Oh, king is coming. But he is heavily guarded by many soldiers. So he climbs on one tree and decides that as soon as king passes by, I will call the king, I will call his attention, I will call him near and will explain him what's happened. So king along with his minister soldiers are walking, and Bhagwan Pandit is sitting on the branch, one of the branch on the tree, tall tree, and king is walking. And as soon as king walks nearby, Bhagwan Pandit starts shouting loudly, "Hey king, I am here. So the king says, who? He said, I, your friend, Bhagwan Pandit. So king was very happy, oh, Bhagwan Pandit is here. King sees him, Bhagwan Pandit sees him, king sees him, and this king was very happy and was approaching Bhagwan Pandit. Oh, my dear friend, he was approaching the tree. As he was approaching the tree, all the ministers say, "Hey, stop, what are you doing? "Hey, he's my friend, Bhagwan Pandit, he's alive, he's calling me, I'm going to meet him." He said, "Don't do that." "Why?" "He's not Bhagwan Pandit, Bhagwan Pandit is dead, it is his ghost. He will haunt you." So the king approached the tree, but when minister, then he looked at another minister told him same story. So two, three ministers told the same story that he's a ghost, he got convinced. Then he thanked his minister, "Thank you for saving me from the ghost." Then he goes back. This is what happens when the leader or the king especially does not monitor his ministers or does not have a strong system to monitor the minister, then that kingdom will be run by thieves and thugs. And in order to make sure the smooth function of the kingdom, Krishna himself is going in disguise form and seeing what the ministers especially, here it is said that Krishna is moving in disguise among the homes of the ministers and other citizens in order to understand what each of them was thinking. So the ankush is required, and that's what duty Krishna is performing as the role of the king. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitaya Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare Bol. I think we are overrun the time, so I'll not ask for the question.